Please turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, we'll read verses 23 through verse 30 together. And we'll read this passage responsively. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread, and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And let's pray, Father, thank you so much for literally the miracles that took place on this property today. Lord, there are people that came onto this property lost and on their way to hell this morning, and they left your children on their way to heaven. What a wonderful thing. There were those that were obedient to you. There were those that had their hearts changed, their lives changed. God, please do it again. This morning's blessings won't do tonight. We've got more needs and we've got more problems. Father, please fill our preacher with your power, please. May we listen and may we do what is taught, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
We have, for the last 3 weeks, been talking about our health. I've just made a very simple title to the sermons. We called it Health Tips. Again, this evening we're going to do that. This is the last Sunday night, though I will teach about this or on this again someday. But this will be the last Sunday night in this little miniature series. The scripture that we read this evening is a scriptural description of what we call the Lord's Supper. Now, I don't call it communion. Communion, that word actually comes more from Catholicism and the Lutheran Church. It's the Lord's Supper. That's what the Bible calls it. And so the Lord's Supper, it was our Lord that established this thing called the Lord's Supper. And what happened was he was going to go on to heaven. He was going to be crucified, and he sat down with the disciples and he said, Fellas, I want to give you something that you may remember me by, and I want people to remember me, and I want you to have this little ceremony, the Lord's Supper, and I want people to be reminded of my death. I want to be reminded of my body and my blood, and that's what it was all about. And so Jesus shared this with the disciples on purpose. He gave each of them a little piece of bread, and he said, now that bread, it pictures my broken body. It does not become the broken body. It pictures his broken body. And it didn't have yeast in the bread, because that yeast was a picture of corruption. And there was no corruption in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was very pure. Then after a little piece of bread was taken, then they took a little glass of juice. And when they drank that juice, that pictured the Lord's blood that was shed. Now, it did not become his blood. It just pictured his blood. And again, it was not fermented, because that fermentation was corruption. And there was no corruption in the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, he tells them, I want you to do this. He did not tell them how often to do it. We take the Lord's Supper here a minimum of 4 times a year in our church. We could take it as often as we felt necessary. We could take it 1 time a year. He didn't tell us how often to take it. He said, as oft as ye do. He said, I just want you to remember my body and my blood. Now, he tells us in verse number 27, he says, wherefore, whosoever whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now it's saying here, don't take it unworthily. And then that means this, you need to be saved if you're going to take the Lord's Supper. It's something that is set aside for born again Christians. You ought to make sure that you're right with the Lord. In verse number 28, it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now, first of all, you have to be saved. And when it says let a man examine himself, I don't think you're supposed to go around examining your salvation all the time. I think you're supposed to examine the condition of your Christianity. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You don't have to examine that every time you turn around. Once you're saved, it's sealed, and it's all taken care of from now till eternity. So, but God says now you ought to examine your walk with God. You ought to examine your Christianity. Why? Well, you're supposed to be right with God. Now, because if you take the Lord's Supper and you take it unworthily, then there may be some health problems as a result of it. In verse number 29 it says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation. You go on down to verse 30 and it says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, when it says sleep here, it's not talking about snoozing and getting 8 hours of sleep. It's talking about permanent sleep, death. But it says here, for this cause, people that take the Lord's Supper unworthily, they are weak, they are sickly, and some even die. There's the health problems. We've been talking about health. We will continue tonight. Weak. What does it mean, weak? Well, always, if there's a possibility of physical weakness because of something in our life, there's definitely a possibility of spiritual weakness. But there are people that are weak as a result of mistaking the Lord's Supper. There are people that are sickly because of it. There are some that even die from it. Now, that is a platform for what I want to say this evening. The first two Sunday nights, the last two Sunday nights, the previous Sunday nights, again, we talked about this, and I gave you a story from 2 Kings chapter number 5. The story was this. There was a man who was the captain of the host of the Syria, and his name was Naaman. Naaman had leprosy. Naaman wanted to be healed. Remember, leprosy is a very contagious disease, and Naaman wanted to be healed. Well, finally, Naaman got to Elisha, the prophet, and Elisha told Naaman, if you'll go down to the Jordan River, if you'll dunk yourself under the water 7 times, when you come up the 7th time, you will be healed. That's exactly what Naaman did. Naaman went down, he dunked himself 7 times in that Jordan River. When he came up the last time, the Bible says his flesh went from being a leprous flesh to having the flesh that was as tender, soft, and healthy as a baby's. Now, I told you this. It would be a wonderful thing if every time we were ill, God just miraculously healed us like that and all our troubles went away. But it doesn't always work that way. You know that, and I know that. In the Bible, not everybody that was sick was just miraculously healed. So, we probably ought to figure out what we can do to keep our bodies as healthy as we can. The Bible teaches that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Some people call this the sanctuary, this building. This is not a sanctuary. It's not a sanctuary at all. I am the sanctuary. I am the place where God lives. If you're born again, God lives within you. God does not live in this building. God lives within the Christian, and so we are to take care of the sanctuary, the dwelling place, the place that houses God. And actually, it is God in the person of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit is in there. He's a part of the Godhead. Now, I'm going to remind you of the things that I've already said to you very quickly. This is what we talked about in the last couple of weeks. Some of you honestly ought to get the tapes and listen to them over and over again and help groom your health so you're a little healthier so you could serve God better. I said this, sickness is not always an act of God's discipline. Somehow people get this idea that if somebody's sick, that's God disciplining them. That's God punishing them. Well, It may be, but I'll tell you this, you don't know it. There's no way you know it. If I'm sick, for you to pass judgment on me and say that's God disciplining you, you must have spent some time in heaven with God and watched everything that He did, and you know everything that's going on. But that's not possible. You have no right to say that because I'm sick, it's punishment from God, nor do I have any right to say that the reason you're sick is because God is punishing you. Yes, indeed. God may discipline His children, just as we read right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. God may discipline somebody because they've misbehaved, but no other human being alive knows that God's doing it. Why? You're not as smart as God. So, I think we better just make sure that if somebody's not well, we do what we can to encourage them and love them. And don't you be passing judgment on them. They may know God is doing it, but even then, you may not even know what God is doing in your life. And so, let's make sure that we understand sickness is not always an act of God's discipline. That's not your call, that's God's. I told you this. All healing comes from God. And so anybody that's healed, that healing came from God. Whether it was a doctor or a medicine or whatever, the healing came from God. I told you this. Number next. Sometimes God chooses not to provide healing. There's a story in the Bible of the Apostle Paul, who is one of the greatest Christians in the entire Bible. And the Bible says that Paul went to God on three separate occasions desiring to be healed, but God chose not to heal him. And that sometimes because it glorifies God that someone's not healed. You say, how could that be? Maybe it is God wants you to show other people how to suffer and keep on loving Him in spite of the fact that your body is not as well as it's going to be. And you're going to be healed someday because you're going to go to heaven and you're going to be perfectly healed there and never have another problem. So your healing's coming. You just may not see it in this life. We said next, everybody suffers some type of sickness. All of us are sick from time to time. I don't know of anybody that has perfect health. And we're going through a process. We were born. The minute we were born, we were on the way to death, and we're going to die someday, so everybody suffers some type of sickness. I said next that the anointing with oil is scriptural. The Bible talks about going to a man of God and him anointing you and asking God to heal you. But I don't have anything to do with Benny Hinn and Oral Roberts and all the faith healers and all that silly stuff. I don't believe that way. But I do believe that God talks about being anointed with oil and being prayed for that you would be healed. Then I said it would be wise that we do not place blame on one another when sickness comes. If the children are sick, don't blame your wife. If the kids are sick, don't blame your husband. Don't blame your family. Hey, let's just pull together when somebody is not well, and let's help them. Next, I said, generally speaking, little children and senior citizens are ill more often than others, or get ill a little more quickly than others, and that's just normal. Number 9, financial problems are often the result of health problems. I mean, when health problems come, you've got to pay the doctor, you've got to pay for medicine, you miss work, and so you be very careful with your health, because if you would take the best care of your health, your finances would be a little better. If you let your health go, you may self-inflict some financial problems that I don't think God wants you to have. I told you this. People that are head of household should consider health insurance when they're changing jobs. Doesn't mean you have to have health insurance, but I'm just saying consider it if you do a job change, and remember the importance of insurance when you can. Then, number 11. Don't run to the doctor in the emergency room for every little thing. People panic very quickly. And listen, children are going to have running noses. And I'm not going to tell anybody when to go to the emergency room. I'm not going to do that. You do whatever you want to do. I'm just telling you, somehow we seem to run to the doctor in the emergency room for every little thing. And you know what they'll do? They'll see that yellow or green runny stuff coming out of your child's nose. And you'll go in there and you'll wait in the office for an hour and a half, and when you leave, the doctor will say to you, let me tell you what your child has. Your child has a green, runny nose, okay? And then you leave and go home. You know no more than what you knew when you went, and they'll tell you something that you already knew. I'm just saying, you be careful. You be careful running to the emergency room every time you turn around. Then, in the case of major medical decisions, I recommend that you get a second opinion. opinion. If you're not well, and let's say you're going to have a surgery, 99 times out of 100, I'd say anybody that's going to have surgery, before they start cutting parts out, you might want to get a second opinion. I've heard it happen over and over again. They cut a part out, and you're thinking you're going to be all well, and you're not. You're the same way after they cut that part out as what you were before they cut that part out. And it may even cause more sickness. So a second opinion can be very wise in major medical decisions. Then I said we need to keep ourselves clean. If you'll keep yourself clean, cleanliness will help your health. Keep your house clean. The cleanness of your home may keep you healthy. I said you can, if and when you buy prescriptions for drugs, they make generics, and they're made by the same company so often, but they're a little less expensive, and you might find yourself saving some money that way. I told you to be careful trusting when you've been in the hospital or a loved one's been in the hospital, be careful trusting all of their billing. They can get care away, and they can charge you for things that you did not use or for days that you were not there, and so you be careful of that. Then I told you you ought to drink a lot of water. Water is good for you. It will flush out your system, and it's important to you. We talked a little bit about eating right, and you ought to eat right. We talked about fasting, how our body needs a time when we do away with food so our body can relax and rejuvenate its energy. We talked about exercise. I told you we need to do some exercising to help ourselves. We talked about maybe taking some vitamins of some sort. I told you need to get some fresh air. We said don't eat or drink after someone. Don't try to train your kids not to go grab somebody else's soft drink and tip up the bottle or the can, and try not to eat after other people because we spread our germs that way. I talked to you about getting the right amount of sleep, and they like to tell us that we all need 8 hours, but that's not so. Some people do very well on 5 hours. Others may need 10. I don't know. But you need to figure out exactly how much sleep you need and get that amount. And oversleeping will make you dreary, undersleeping will keep you from thinking straight, and so there's the right amount of sleep that you need. Then I said this lastly, last Sunday night, you need to stop your bad habits. Now folks, people that drink liquor, they're destroying their bodies, the smoking will hurt you, you all know that, the Surgeon General is smart enough to know that, and there are so many other bad habits. The reason you have stitches all over your knuckles is because every time you get mad at your wife, you put your fist through the drywall in the bathroom. Now, that's not good for your health, and it's probably not good for your wife's health either. And so our tempers, there's so many ways that we hurt ourselves, bad habits that we form that hurt our health. Now, all of that is reviewed. Now, let me talk to you about some other things this evening. Let me tell you about one of the best weight control programs known to man. Now, you need to figure out what you need to do to keep yourself healthy, and your weight may have something to do with that. You say, Brother Owens, what's the best weight control program in the world? Well, I would say the best thing you could do is not become overweight in the first place, because it's far easier to keep it off than to take it off. Anybody here that's ever experienced it, you know exactly what I mean. Now, hey, being underweight can be as bad for you as being overweight. And I don't think we ought to let Hollywood decide what our weight ought to be. Somehow, you get to watching some woman on Hollywood, and you think, well, that's what a woman's supposed to look like. Now, that's where all the whores are, out in Hollywood. You know, it's not a matter of, see, a woman ought to look like somebody that's out in Hollywood. But I think this. I think that we ought to watch our weight because it'll have something to do with the way that we feel. You say, well, Brother Owens, my wife, she doesn't fit into her wedding gown anymore. Well, do you still fit into your tux? Well, you get used to it, you know. As you grow in the Lord, you may grow in other places too. But our weight has something to do with the way that we feel. And you want to get yourself to a healthy weight and do your best to stay there. When I say a weight control program, listen, most people try to diet. Really, dieting is not the best thing you could do. Changing the way you live is a way to control your weight. People want to go on a diet for a couple months and hope to take care of everything. Usually the best thing to do is just change the way that you live. And you change your lifestyle in general in regard to your eating habits, and that will help you to lose your weight. Now, there are virtually hundreds of diets. I'm not going to go into them all, but I'm going to just tell you this. I'm going to tell you, when people talk to me about weight loss, and I have people ask me about it, I'm going to tell you what I recommend. Very simple. Think you ought to exercise. I just think you ought to exercise. Some of you, when you get to Walmart, instead of, and I know there are people in here, you're just like this, you wait for that front row parking spot. And you'll circle and circle and circle to get that spot, and if you can't have that spot, you'll go home. You won't even go buy your groceries. What some of you need to do when you get to Walmart is park your car at our Walmart out here. Park your car all the way out by 81 and walk in. You'll be okay. There are lights on the building. You'll be able to see it from the distance. You just follow the lights and you'll finally reach Walmart. But folks, listen, we just need to exercise. America has, with our computers and with all the automation in our country, we've become a little lazy. And if we're not careful, America's going to increase our weight, and they'll tell you too much weight's not good for you. And I feel sorry for some, because some people that have health problems, back problems, it's a little more difficult for them to exercise, and they often say, now what do I do? Well, do what you can. Just do what you can, but exercise. What else can help your weight? Drink lots of water. Lots of water. Water will help you. I promise you. You just drink lots of water. What else? Try this. Eat less. You're thinking, that's outrageous, Brother Owens. Eat less. Don't live to eat. Eat to live. And you might be amazed at how much less food you could consume and still be alive. Now, most of you aren't afraid of dying anytime soon, but just eat less and try to eat the right kinds of foods. Cutting out sweets won't hurt you. And it'll be hard on you, but it won't hurt you. One of the best things in the world for your health is a thing called self-control. Just self-control. Exercise, eat less, drink lots of water, cut out the sweets. Hey, and folks, some of you get so discouraged. You go to try to lose a little weight, and you younger people say, oh, Brother Owens, come on, lose weight. Your day's coming, punk. You just wait. You'll see. They used to tell me, boy, my metabolism up through age 40. I mean, I was everywhere, and I had no problem with this at all. I eat like a horse, and I look like a pencil. And a fellow told me one day, I was getting ready to go out on the platform and preach. He said, you make me sick. He said, look at you. You look so thin. He said, you wait until you hit your 40s. You'll see what it's all about. And I thought, it has nothing to do with your age. I'm here to say, you wait until you hit your 40s. You just wait. You'll see. But listen, folks, don't expect 10 years of excess weight to come off in 10 days. You all want the Hollywood, the orange drink, overnight miracle weight control thing where they're promising you, you just drink this bottle of stuff and you'll lose, you know, that 10 pounds. Listen, usually when you lose weight that fast, it's not healthy for you anyway. Most of it is it's draining your body of its fluids, and you'll put it all back on in the next week. Don't expect to take off 10 years of extra weight in 10 days. Work at it. Take your time if you have to. Make it permanent. And the best way is to not diet, but to change the way you live. And we're just simply saying you don't eat as much, you exercise, you watch the sweets, you just don't eat fried foods every day, all day long. You can continue to eat fried okra, because nobody's giving that up, at least I'm not. And I like fried chicken and eggs and toast and bacon and stuff. But watch your weight, because it will help you to feel better. Then, hey, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Watch your weight. Next, pray about your health. Pray about your health. There's nothing wrong with that. Ask God to keep you healthy. Now listen, don't expect God to do it all, though. You know, you could pray and ask God to keep you healthy, and then you turn around and abuse your body and not take care of it like I've been trying to teach you, and you're going to be unhealthy. But ask God to keep you healthy. Ask God to strengthen you so you can do your part. Ask God to give you some wisdom about your health. Hey, pray for one another's health. We have people in our church that still need our prayers, and I shouldn't start naming them, but I take a Mrs. Linton. She still needs our prayers. Mrs. Crabb, she needs our prayers. Skippy Burris, Brother Skippy up here, he needs our prayers. Mary Vest and Jerry Lowther and Frank Shepherd, I could go on and on. There are people in here who are not well. We need to pray for them. Mrs. Tinsman, boy, I just worried for a long time that she would not get better, but thank God she's here. But there are people here that are struggling with their health, and let's pray. Pray for your your children's health. Hey, we ought to pray, but we ought to just pray for one another in general about our kids. But pray for their health. Pray for their physical health. Pray for their spiritual health. And let's pray that they be healthy. Taking care of the body has something to do with longevity of life. You know, I was thinking, Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. Now, what you put into your body has something to do with it, but just the way you live for God has something to do with the length of your life. Because the Bible says, children, obey your parents and the Lord. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That means this, if children will obey their parents, they'll live longer. That's what the Bible promises. And so let's pray for one another. Let's pray that our children have long and prosperous lives, both physically and spiritually. Now, we're going to get to the main purpose of tonight's lesson. Number 28, don't be a gossip. Say, what in the world does that have to do with health? Oh, according to the Bible, it has everything to do with it. Don't be a gossip. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. The Bible's saying here, if you speak pleasant words, if you are a positive person, then those words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and they are health to the bones. Sweet to the soul, the Bible says. But man is a three-part being. I've taught this to you. Some of you are here. Some have joined us since then. But let me take a second and teach you something. Man is made of three parts. Man is made up like an egg. There's a shell, there's the white, and there's a yolk. God made man in His own image. Well, God has three parts. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God said to Jesus, let us make man in our image. Okay, that means God is in three parts. Man is in three parts as well. There is body, there is soul, and there is spirit. You're looking at the body right now. This is my body. My body is the house of my soul and my spirit. It is my body that transports my soul and my spirit. Now, how about the second part, the soul? Just inside my body is my soul. It is my soul that communicates with man. And so, my body houses my soul. My soul is communicating with you right now because it is the soul of man that communicates with the soul of man. Then inside my soul is my spirit. My soul is the house of my spirit, like my body is the house of my soul. Inside my soul is my spirit. It is with my spirit that I communicate with God. So I have a body. You're looking at it. I have a soul. You're hearing it. We're communicating with it. I have a spirit, and that is the part that I communicate with God. And the Bible says here, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Sweet words to people will help you to have a healthy soul. If you use sweet words with people, you will have a healthy soul. And I'll tell you something, you need your inside parts to be healthy. You need to be healthy. Sweet words to people help us to have a healthy soul. Some of us are physically sick because our soul is sick. Your attitude toward people will affect your health. How are your relationships with people? I think if we could do a study on husbands and wives, and you could see how often they end up sick and their tolerance for health problems drop right after husbands and wives have had terrible fusses and fights. I almost guarantee you, you could log it and you could see a deterioration of health when people are angry and they're out of sorts with one another. When that happens, you don't sleep right. When that happens, you don't eat right. When that happens, your temperature rises. You see, the Bible says that pleasant words will give you a healthy soul and it will help your bones. If your soul's healthy, that's how you get along with people. Pleasant words bring health to your bones. Gossips, critics in the church are risking bone problems. That's what the Bible's saying here. And we'll get to more of it in a second. Gossips are risking bone problems. That means gossips are risking blood problems. You say, well, what do you mean? Doesn't say anything about blood here. Well, all you have to do is do a little medical study and you'll find out. Bones are hollow. Inside the bone is a thing called the marrow of the bone, M-A-R-R-O-W. I talked to both a doctor and an RN this afternoon, and they said, you pronounce it marrow, and they said within the bone is a thing called the marrow. And this is what the doctor told me. He said the marrow of the bone is what produces all the red blood cells, the platelets, and most of the white blood cells. That means this. When you are negative, when you are a gossip, when you are a critic, when you're a backbiter, you are endangering your bones, and within your bones is your marrow, and your marrow produces your blood, and you're going to end up with a blood disease if you're not careful. Because of gossip? I think that's what the Bible's teaching here. Proverbs 18, verse number 2 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Negative talk affects you physically. It affects you physically. Positive talk helps you to regain your health. I really believe this. I believe there are people, I don't know who they are, and it's not my job to figure out who they are. It's my job to teach the Bible, but I'll tell you this, there are people that are sick because they're critics, and they're scorners, and they're backbiters, and they're gossips, and they're negative talkers. And they're sick because of it. Their soul is sick. It has affected their bones, which affects the marrow of their bone, which affects their blood. And boy, how in the world do they figure out what's wrong with you? They take a blood test because it is in the blood that illness races through your body. Positive talk will help you to regain your health. Positive talk could heal your soul. It says here, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. What some of you need to do is you need to start talking negative all the time. You need to stop leaving the church and going out and criticizing the things that are done. And some of you need to start talking positively. You'd regain some of your health because it brings health to your bones. Health to your bones will be health to your marrow. And health to your marrow will bring health to your blood. And you all need healthy blood if you're going to live right. If you're going to live a prosperous life, and I'm talking about physically. Did you know that a woman can affect the health of her husband? You say one person can affect the health of another? Absolutely. Well, if you believe the Bible. Y'all believe the Bible? Some of you do. Proverbs 12, verse number 4 says this, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bones. Here it says, a virtuous woman will bring health to her husband, but if she causes him to be ashamed of her ungodly lifestyle, that it will bring rottenness in his bones. The bones are hollow. What's on the inside of the bones? Marrow. What produces the blood of the body? Marrow. A woman can embarrass her husband because she won't live according to the Bible, and it will be rottenness in his bones. That's what the Bible teaches. Number next, keep your heart right with God. It'll keep you healthy. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 30 says this, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. Staying right with God, keeping your heart right with God will keep your flesh healthier. It's talking about the heart, spiritual, keeping the body, physical, healthy. Your heart issues are issues like gossip, criticism, hatred. Hatred for people will deteriorate you physically. You are not created to hate people. You are created to love people. You are created to hate sin. And we do the exact opposite. We love sin and hate people. And you deteriorate the mechanism called the body, which is the house of the Holy Spirit. And God does not want to live inside there while you're busy hating people and you're messing up His house. You're destroying the home of the Holy Spirit, which is your body. Keep your heart right with God. Watch your temper, your impatience. You're so easily offended. Those are sins of the heart. Hey, when God convicts you about something and you know you're supposed to change something in your life and you won't do it, you're endangering yourself. God has convicted your heart. There's something in your life that shouldn't be there and you know it shouldn't be there. every day you don't get your heart right with God, you are endangering your own health. Because it says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. And so this evening, thus far, I've said this, don't be a gossip. It'll ruin your health. Keep your heart right with God. If your heart's not right with God, it'll ruin your health. Next, envy will rot your bones. Envy will rot your bones. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 30 says, envy is the rottenness of the bones. Now remember, if envy is going to rot your bones, it means that your bones are going to rot, the marrow is going to rot, and if it rots, it's going to affect the blood. And the Bible clearly teaches life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. Envy, you envy another. And as a result of that envy, you're going to have blood problems. Say, what is envy? Envy is jealousy. Matter of fact, it's a very zealous jealousy. It is, it's akin to covetousness. Being dissatisfied with what you have and wanting what somebody else has, you envy them, you're jealous of them, you want what they have, that envy will rotten your bones, it'll cause your bones to become rotten, that'll affect your blood, and you'll end up sick because you're unsatisfied with what God's given you. You'll get sicker faster by wanting somebody else's mate than almost any other envy in the world. I said this last week. Adultery will run your health in the ground faster than just about anything else. Lack of sleep, the hatred, the pain, the suffering, the whole body gets messed up, the throwing up, everything goes along with it. But envy will rot your bones. You envy, you desire something that somebody else has. You're dissatisfied. You want somebody else's job. That envy will rot you. You know something? I don't want another man's church anywhere on the face of the earth. I don't. There is not another church anywhere I want. I want the one that God gave me. And if everybody here, if you wanted the job that you have, and if you wanted the Sunday school class that you have, if you wanted the bus route that you have, if you wanted the kids that you have, and if you wanted the husband that you have, and if you wanted the wife that you have, and if you just wanted the body that you have, you'd be 10 times healthier. But the Bible says your envy will rot your bones because you're dissatisfied with what God's given you. You envy somebody else's money. You envy somebody else's house. You envy somebody else's promotion. You envy somebody's position. You envy their possessions, their success in life. I know young people that virtually envy somebody else's upbringing. You see a boy or a girl, they grew up in mom and dad's house, they've been brought up as Christians all their life, they've always had mom, they've always had dad, and it didn't turn out that way for you, young person. Your mom left you or your dad left you. And you envy them to the point of almost hating them. Because they have something you don't have. Listen, that'll ruin you. I'm not glad you lost your mama, or I'm not glad you lost your daddy, but envy or covetousness will rot your bones. You'll affect your health. You see, to be a gossip will destroy your health. Keep your heart right with God, because a sound heart is the life of the flesh. Envy will rot your bones. Number 31 in my list of health ideas is trust the Lord for good health. Trust the Lord for good health. Proverbs 3, I'm going to read something to you. I hope you're all listening tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Oh, that's good news. Health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. That's what we're looking for, health. Well, how are we going to get it? Well, according to this, and let me tell you what that means. When it says health to thy navel, your navel, that's your belly button, all right? Biblically, it's the umbilical cord, the place from which you receive nutrition. If you want to get the proper nutrition in life, then you need to make sure you do what this passage is saying. And someone asked me one day, they said, Brother Owens, did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? Yes, because when God was done, He took His finger and He said, you're done and you're done. Here the Bible says, if you'll do what it says in Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 8, you can have help to thy navel, that is the umbilical cord, the place from which nutrition comes for your livelihood, and marrow to the bones, again, that goes back to the blood. Now what do you do to get that health? It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The more you doubt God, the more you set yourself up to be susceptible to a lack of health. With all thine heart. That means some of you need to decide to go all the way with God. Stop playing around at church. Stop playing around. You decide, okay, I'm in. I am in. This is my church. This is my God. This is my Bible. I'm going to live it. I'm going to stop debating it in my own mind. I'm going to serve God. I'm just going to do it. If somebody shows me from the Bible I'm to live something, I'm living it. I'm going to stop leaning unto my own understanding. I'm going to trust in the Lord. And in so doing, you can have health to thy navel, and it will help the marrow of your bones. Decide to go all the way with God. Stop holding back. Some of you wishy-washy Christians, you know, the Sunday only people, the people that live right at church but will go home and live totally different. You come on this property, you look one way, you go someplace else, you look totally different. Stop playing wishy-washy Christianity and get down to it and say, I want to be healthy. And so I am going to do what God tells me to do. I will trust in the Lord with all mine heart. I will not lean into my own understanding. In all His ways, I will acknowledge Him. And I'll let Him direct my path. And the Bible says by the time you get to verse number 8, you will have health to your navel and you'll have marrow to your bones. Lean not to thine understanding. What does that mean? You live by faith. You don't have to understand it. You just obey it. You don't even have to like it. You just obey it. It's what God wants. Don't do what you want, but do what God wants. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. That means you live for Him in all areas of life. You just live for Him. You decide in every area you want what He wants. It says there in that passage of Scripture, be not wise in thine own eyes. You better watch your pride. Watch your pride. You better watch your education. Better make sure that does not come before God. Be teachable. You see, part of being not wise in thine own eyes is being teachable. Let somebody instruct you. Let somebody teach you. I think I made this statement a week ago, Sunday morning. We were talking about growing in the Lord. And I said, yes, you may be older than I am, but you are not older than the book that I preach. You're not older than the Holy Spirit that works through me. You are not older than the God that I serve. And I am a conduit from God to deliver to you what you need to change your life so you can be a good Christian. And you need to be teachable. Hey, you need to be correctable. Correctable. Allow God to correct you. Allow the preaching to correct you. Allow your spiritual authorities to correct you. Are there people afraid to correct you? If they walked up to you and said, Brother, I really think you ought to change this about your life, would you throw a fit? You want to edge about all correction? You just can't take correction? The Bible says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. In other words, you get stiff-necked. Nobody's going to tell you what to do. You don't like somebody correcting you. There are people that won't come back to this church because they're stiff-necked, and I'll stand up here and preach, and the Holy Spirit of God will correct them, and they just can't stand it. Nobody's going to correct them. Nobody's going to tell them they're wrong. Well, I'm saying nobody. That includes God, and you're in big trouble if you won't take correction from God. And if you won't take correction from God, you are not living Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 8. You therefore will not have the nutrition that you need from the umbilical cord or the navel. You'll not be healthy, and the marrow of your bones will not be healthy, and therefore you'll have blood problems. So you really believe that? I believe the Bible. I believe it more than I believe the American Medical Journal. That was written by man. This is written by God. He's the one that created the body. The Bible says, fear the Lord in this passage of Scripture. That means have a respect for Him. Depart from evil. Now stay with me and we're almost done. It says here in Proverbs 3, it says depart from evil. Why? Because we're trying to get marrow for your bones. We're trying to make sure that your navel is healthy, or your reception of the nutrients that your body needs is received properly so your body can use it properly. But the Bible says depart from evil. Now look at me and listen carefully. This is a Bible study in itself, but in 3 minutes I'm going to teach you something I need to take an hour to teach you. The Bible teaches that there's a difference in sin and evil. Here it says, depart from evil. Sin is what you do that hurts you. If you get a bottle and you go drink it alone, then you've hurt yourself for drinking that Southern Comfort. If you go get you some pornography and you look at it alone, you've hurt yourself by looking at it. But wait a minute. Sin is what you do that hurts you. Evil is when you do something that hurts others. The Bible says evil people will not have health to their navel, and the marrow in their bones will be unhealthy. What's evil? Evil involves hurting others. That's when you sell liquor. That's evil.
Right.
You drink it. That's sin. It's when you sell or produce pornography. That's evil.
Right.
To look at it, that's sin. Gossip is evil. Because you hurt other people. It's evil. See, gossip, you say, Brother Owens, you mention gossip about once every 3 or 4 services. I'm trying to help you not to be affected by evil. Evil is when you're critical and you gossip, you backbite, because that affects other people. Gambling. You see, if you gamble, that's a sin for you. But wait a minute. If you help others gamble, that's evil. Because it's affecting others. I wish I had time to go into all that. But there's so many things. We get so confused. We think sin and evil are the same thing. The Bible says, lead us not into temptation. Now, if you don't want to be tempted, and he says that we ought to pray that we don't do evil. Don't do evil in your life. Hey, you hurt yourself, that's bad. But when you hurt everybody else, that's evil. Hey, Dad, what you let go on in your house, if it shouldn't be happening and it's affecting the rest of your family, that's evil of you. You may personally sin, but you affect the others around you. Now, what happens? If we won't live what I just taught you, then we will not have health to our navel. And the marrow in our bones will not be healthy. And it is the marrow that produces all the red blood cells, the platelets, and most of the white blood cells. And so your tolerance for disease drops. You see, I think there's more to being healthy than just eating rhubarb and taking vitamin C. I said this last week. The greatest beauty aid for a woman on the face of this earth is purity, chastity, holiness, a good, sweet spirit. That'll make you healthier than most things. That'll make you healthy. Every time you lose it, and every time you're angry, and every time you're impatient, and every time you're nasty and you gossip, you are ruining your health. You're ruining your health. Don't let that happen to you. If you're here tonight and you're not born again, let me tell you something. I could help you to extend your life forever by getting born again. Say, well, what does it take? Blood. Whose? Jesus's. Jesus's. You see, if you get born again, the blood of Jesus Christ will be applied to your sin debt. And it is the blood that will bring health to you spiritually. So if you die tonight and you're not 100% sure you go to heaven tonight, you could trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the pure, sinless, perfect, holy blood of God could be applied to your sin account. You say, if God, it was Jesus that died. Well, I've got news for you. Do you know who the father of Jesus Christ was? It was not Joseph. Because Joseph had tainted blood. He was a human. No, the blood that flowed through the veins of Jesus Christ was the blood of God. That's pretty good blood. Not tainted with sin. If you're not born again, you ought to get born again tonight. You could live forever. This evening, I tried to help you again with your health. The last time for a while, but if you've listened tonight, some of you could turn your health around by doing the things that you should do physically, but by doing some of the things that you ought to do spiritually. You say, well, I'm not sure I believe all that. Well, you can choose to believe what you want to believe. I happen to believe Dr. Jesus. I happen to believe Dr. Jesus. And he knows more than all the doctors at Mayo Clinic and all the doctors down there at City Hospital. Matter of fact, I know more than the doctors at City Hospital. The Johns Hopkins University, Jesus Christ created your body. And he knows exactly what you need. Now, he'll help those doctors to help you. But you could get some direct attention from the great physician, Jesus Christ, if you just live the Word of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.